to welcome you here this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask that you might turn to hymn number 410. Please stand. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we approach Thee in Thy house this day to petition Thee that Thou might come and minister unto us. Father, we pray for those that stand in need, for those that are hurting physically, spiritually, mentally. Father, I pray for those that have dreaded diseases such as cancer. I pray that You would touch each and every one. Our sister, Jean Brantner, we pray for her and ask that You would bless her. Mr. Diamond, we ask that You would be with him, that his test might come back cancer-free. And Father, bless him in the treatment that he is having. Father, we pray for those that also stand in need of other blessings, such as those with diabetes and vision problems. And Father, we pray for those that are sick and afflicted this day. Father, I pray that You would be with the one that is to be administered to, that You would bless her, that You would give her what her heart's desire is. Father, we pray for those that have walked away from Thee and have stepped out of Thy pathway. We ask, Heavenly Father, that You would bring them back. Father, I pray for those in foreign lands. I pray that You would bless each one. Give them strength that they need. Give them the substances that they need. Father, I pray that You would bless our ministry that has gone out into foreign lands. I pray for Buzz and Brian that their lives would be precious in Your sight and that they would have the protection of Thy holy angels. And Father, I pray for those that are ministering in Honduras. those in Yucatan. I pray for our ministry in Africa. And I ask, Heavenly Father, that each one might be given a blessing that they stand in need of. Now, Father, I pray for my brother who will stand to break the bread of life unto us. I pray that our brother, Apostle Frank Fan, might have thy spirit to touch him. Give him utterance for those things that we stand in need of. And Heavenly Father, be with those that are entering into a covenant with thee this day. I pray that your spirit would be upon them. Now, Father, bless the church in its need. Bless our country. Bless those that are defending us. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask that the administration take place at this time. Diana, would you come up? Before we continue with our second hymn, I would like to have you turn off all your cell phones. I'd also like to remind the parents, don't let your children go downstairs by themselves. Take them down if they need to go to the bathroom. because the fount is full and we don't want an accident. So I would remind the parents to take care of their own kids so that we don't have an accident. Now let's turn to hymn number 298. Again, I want to welcome you here to the house of the Lord. We have an opportunity to be fed this morning, if we want to be. We need to hold up and sustain our brother before our Lord, that he might be able to deliver unto us the message that we stand in need of. It gives me great pleasure to introduce our brother this morning, Apostle Frank Vann.
Thank you, Brother Larry. When Mike and I are in the Philippines, at a time like this, I would say it's Mike's turn. But this last time that was over there, it didn't work. We had a different type of mission to the Philippines this time. It seems like that our old-time mission to where we would go and tell the people who we are and what we stand for and tell them about the Church of Christ, it didn't happen this time. This time we visited missions. And Brother Mike and I would find ourselves preaching three times a day or more. And I become worried. And about 6 to 7 o'clock of an evening, after we had got back to the hotel and I had jumped in the shower and I was beat, and I would start making up the bed, and Mike would say, "What does this mean?" It means I was going to bed at 6:30 p.m. But what more it meant was that I wasn't able to prepare a sermon for the next day. And I knew I'd have 2 or 3 sermons. And along towards the last, the sermons were off the top of my head. And I'd find myself combining sermons that I had remembered from years back. Years and years back. And they would come to mind, and I would combine a couple of sermons and try to give the people something that they would stand in need of. Today is that day. I have combined 2 sermons, and Brother Mike, I think probably one of the last sermons that Brother Mike heard me give is these 2 sermons combined. We were at a place called Tagum City, and Brother Demetrio is the one in charge there, and he had Mike give a sermon, and he asked me to give a sermon, and I was dry. I was absolutely out of something to say. And at first I kind of thought, my gosh, what am I going to do? But I stood up finally, and 2 different sermons with actually 2 different subjects came to mind. One of the subjects that I had preached years and years and years ago was the promises of God. And the other sermon that I had preached before was the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Now, that's about as far away as you can get. But I combined them that day, and I'm going to try to do it today. I'm going to try to show you the promises of our Heavenly Father, which are many. And I'm going to try to show you, because of the simplicity of the gospel of Christ, you can claim those promises. Those lovely promises of our Heavenly Father. We sang a song, I believe, last week. It was called Standing on the Promises. It says, first verse says, "Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God." You know, that's something that you and I can do. You and I can stand on the promises of our Heavenly Father. But what is the first thing that this song says? It not only says it here in this song in our hymnal, but it says it in the Bible and it says it in the Book of Mormon. The first thing that we have to do to be able to claim those promises of God is to give praise and glory to Him. Praise and glory to our Heavenly Father. We can't expect the promises of God. We can't expect those good things from God unless we praise Him. Unless we give Him glory. You realize that the term praise is found 265 times in the Bible. 265 times. It tells us to praise God. Now, it must be important if it's told that many times that we need to praise His holy name. It says we praise Him because his mercy endureth forever. You know, that's one of God's promises to us, isn't it? That he will be merciful to you and I. We have, when we stand before the judgment bar of Christ, a balance. Mercy, judgment. Which do you want? Which do you want? I think you're like me. You want mercy? I don't want judgment because I will have to suffer for all those sins that are in my life. I will have to suffer for all those things that I failed to do. I would pray for mercy. One of the promises of God is his mercy endureth forever. The 118th Psalm says, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Another promise of God. That through obedience to him, we can claim salvation. We can claim salvation. One of the greatest promises of God, salvation. Eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 13:15, it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks in his name. So, it's telling us here in Hebrews, it's not enough for us to be thankful here in our hearts, which I'm sure that each one of us are. We're thankful for this day of life that he has given us today. We're thankful for our children. We're thankful for all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. We know it here in our hearts. But it says here it's not good enough. We have to give him the praise of our lips. We have to verbally say it. We have to verbally praise God, not only to each other, but praise him to the world. Praise our Heavenly Father. To be able to claim those promises that he has given us. Second verse says, standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Yeah, those promises of God are sure. When he makes a promise to you and I, he doesn't break it. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't pull it back. And when you and I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when you and I went down into the waters of baptism, we and our Heavenly Father exchanged promises. Now, he told us, I'm going to give you eternal life. I'm going to protect you daily through your life. I'm going to love you, watch over you, guide and direct through the Holy Ghost your actions and your deeds. And we promised him in return that we would obey him, that we would love him, that we would love each other, that we would do the things that he says. Now, God is not going to go back on his promise. Have we kept our side of the bargain? We have baptisms today. We have two new candidates going down into the waters of baptism. They today will be making that covenant with our Lord and Savior. They today will listen to the promises that God is giving them, and they in return will make promises to God. And I pray that they keep those promises. And I pray that you and I have kept those promises. I know for myself, I have not. I have fallen far short of the promises that I made God at the time that I went down into the waters of baptism. We're going to go to 2 Peter. Second Peter, first verse, 1-4. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our salvation on our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Great and precious divine promises of God given to you and I. Moses told the people that God will not fail thee nor forsake thee. In the 11th chapter of Luke, Jesus said, your heavenly Father will not fail to give unto you whatever ye ask of him. And we are asking him to give us what he has promised. But we have to give him something, don't we? We have to give him something. In the Book of Mormon, Mosiah, 2nd chapter, 13th verse, says, believe in God and believe that he is. A simple commandment of our Lord and Savior. Believe in God and believe that he is. Yeah, that's two different things. That's two different things. For we are told in the scriptures that even the devils believe in God. But we have to believe that he is, that he can do for us those things that are good. We have to believe that he created all heaven and all earth. We have to believe that we cannot comprehend the things that God can comprehend. We must have that belief and that faith that he will do for us those things that he promised. A very simple concept of Jesus Christ and God. And then we must repent of our sins. And we all sin. Even we who have went down into the waters of baptism have had all our sins washed away. John says that if we say that we don't have any sin within us, we lie. And the truth is not in us. So we stand in need of repentance. God in his wisdom, through the blood of Jesus Christ, has given us a way even after baptism, given us a way to return again. And that is through repentance. Through truly being sorry for those things that we do that are contrary to His law. Whether they're things that we do or things that we don't do. Either one is a sin. And then comes baptism. The Scriptures tell us that there's no other way to enter into the kingdom of heaven except through the water and the blood. Baptism. Going down into the water and having your sins remitted. Having your soul washed clean. And making a covenant with our Heavenly Father. Very simple concept of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you have the laying on of hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us if we listen to that Holy Ghost, if we listen to that still small voice that is instilled upon us by the laying on of hands, we will stay in the paths of righteousness. What a promise. What a promise to you and I. But we must listen. And we must obey that still small voice that's given to us, that will be given to the candidates today. Verse 3, standing on the promises I now can see, perfect, present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ made free, standing on the promises of God. I'm going to turn to the Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi. First chapter, verses 117 to 120. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore, men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man, and they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediation of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. That's a promise. That's a promise to you and I that we are free. We're free to choose. We're free to choose Jesus Christ. We're free to choose the world. We're free to obey or we're free to disobey. So it behooves each one of us here today to make up our minds that we are going to obey our Heavenly Father. We're going to do the things that He tells us to do. We're going to put behind us those things of the world and go on that path that leads to eternal life. That path of righteousness. Yes, Christ bled. Christ suffered. Christ died here to give us that liberty. That liberty to obey, to follow, or that liberty not to follow. Verse 4, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. We are bound to Him by love. The same as we're bound to each other by love.